In 2009, we had the pleasure of interviewing Debbie Reynolds about her life in Hollywood, her one-woman show, and her deep bond with her daughter, Carrie Fisher.
In 2011, we also had the pleasure of chatting with Carrie Fisher at her own one-woman show, Wishful Drinking. We were inspired by her courage and humor in talking so candidly about her life. Tragically, Carrie Fisher was traveling home to California to visit her mother when she had a heart attack and later died. Days later, Debbie Reynolds also passed away.
Please enjoy this encore presentation of our interview with Debbie Reynolds.
Our hearts and thoughts go to Debbie, Carrie, their family, and to their millions of fans and friends all around the world.
Hi, this is Debbie Reynolds. And when I'm not out on the road doing my show full of singing and dancing, I'm always listening to the Feast of Fun with Fausto or Mark.
As star of one of Hollywood's most loved musicals, Singing in the Rain, Debbie Reynolds made a name for herself with her sparkling voice and uninhibited sense of humor. With over 30 films, 2 Broadway shows, and several TV series under her belt, Debbie Reynolds still continues to captivate audiences with her one-woman show.
Today, we're talking to Hollywood's Golden Age diva, Debbie Reynolds, on her conservative roots, her divorce from Eddie Fisher, and being the mother of the princess of sci-fi, Carrie Fisher.
Does she live next door to her daughter? What was it like to rehearse those dance sequences with Gene Kelly? Is it true he made her feet bleed?
Listen as Debbie shares with us her stories of dating closeted gay men in Hollywood, being a mother to all her fans, and she dishes it up on drag queens trying to make it big in show business.
If you live in Chicago, be sure to see Debbie Reynolds live at the Drury Lane Theater in Oak Brook Terrace this weekend only, August 6th through the 9th.
Listen to the end of the show for details on how you can save money on tickets to see Debbie live.
I'm Fausto Fornos.
I'm Mark Fillion.
And this is Feast of Fun. Do I pass the audition?
No. Next.
Today's show is brought to you by generous support of fabulous listeners like you.
We really can't do the show without your support, so please visit our website, feastoffun.com, and make a donation. Buy a t-shirt.
Your financial support makes all the difference.
Thank you.
Hello, this is Debbie.
Hi, Debbie. This is Fausto Fornos.
And Mark Fillion from the Feast of Fun podcast. How are you today?
Hi, I'm terrific. And you guys?
We're doing great. We're in here in Chicago, Illinois, and we're so excited that you're coming this weekend to the Drury Lane Theater by popular demand, Debbie Reynolds in concert.
I hope so, by popular demand. I've been working there about 25 years, and I can't wait to get back.
For all the newcomers, what can we expect to see and hear in your show?
Well, I'm Carrie Fisher's mother. I'm Princess Leia's mother. Just for all you young people out there, I was Will and Grace. I was Grace's mother. Just for those you young people out there, or I was Albert Brooks's mother. In a movie that we did, and I was in Carla, and whatever.
Okay, you're giving away all our questions.
You play a lot of different kinds of mothers in TV shows and films, and yet you're also a grandmother to Carrie Fisher's baby boy.
I have a baby girl.
Oh, baby girl, I'm sorry.
Billy. Well, her name is Billy, but, you know, that's Billy Burke, and B-I-L-L-I-E, and she's beautiful and adorable, and we're all very thrilled. I only have one grandmother. Child, which I think is ridiculous. I told them to get busy.
Well, count your blessings. My poor mother has 8 children and no grandchildren. So,
oh my God. There's a problem there.
So is it true that in your one-woman show, you don't hold back on dishing the dirt on all the A-list celebrities from years past?
Well, I just have a good time. First of all, I knew everybody. And I was 17 years old, you know, and I, after all, 62 years in the business, I knew everybody, you know, Spencer Tracy, Clark Gable, I mean, name it. And so I don't dish necessarily, I just tell the truth. So, you know, I do a musical comedy, evening of song and dance and impressions, I do Katharine Hepburn and Betty Davis, and I do Paris Hilton. I added Paris because Zsa Zsa, her great aunt, is really, really her aunt.
Well, wow. And Eva Gabor is also her aunt, too.
No, Zsa Zsa Gabor, who I just said.
Right.
They were twins, though, so technically wouldn't they both be her aunt?
Well, one is alive and one is dead.
Oh. Okay.
So it's,
and then there's the Gabor everyone forgets.
What happens in life is sometimes you are forgotten. And so what I do is, because Josh is still alive, I do, and she did slap a cop. Eva Gabor was a very good friend of mine from Green Acres and all that, and she never did slap a cop.
I always felt that when you have to tell a police officer, do you know who I am, you've already lost.
Well, you've already slapped him by then.
Well, Ms. Reynolds, you came from a very conservative Christian family. Was it hard to adapt to Hollywood's sinful ways?
My family didn't go to movies. My family were raised Nazarene. So my mother, thank God, broke that and felt that it was just fine if I went to see Fred Astaire and Ginger Rogers and all these wonderful musicals. And so the mold was broken. Also, my mother and I were thrown out of the church when I came into the movies because it was unacceptable that I be in film because actresses were only wanton women, which, of course, was not true and which was ridiculously prejudiced. But then, of course, there is a lot about life that is until the person gets a little more education or reads a little bit more about it. And so I think that that's a long time ago prejudice that, thank God, we've lived through. So I'm through with that. And I went in the films when I was 16, and I'm still there.
You're still there. And you've also been quoted as saying that you love to date the gay men in Hollywood because at least they didn't put their hands all over you. Was it easy for you to accept gay men?
My friends were gay. I mean, they didn't talk about it because they were frightened, because in those days, if you were gay or homosexual, you couldn't be a leading man because that was not acceptable. Now, you can kind of get the viewpoint that in those days, if Rock Hudson is kissing Doris Day, you know, the women watching didn't want to think you'd rather be kissing somebody else, you know.
Well, did you think when you were dating sort of these closeted gay men in Hollywood and you saw them in the films, did you say, boy, they sure are good actors?
Well, no, actually, acting is acting. So, you know, any more than today, if they had to play a part where they were going to kiss a guy and a guy or a girl and a girl, a lot of people wouldn't find any exception with it, and it wouldn't have to be to their liking necessarily. That is their part. But in the old days, like take the 40s and the 50s, it was forbidden, you know. You just never admitted it. Tab Hunter was a very dear friend of mine and a really still to this day close friend, buddy. And he got really mad at me one night when he wanted to kiss me goodnight. And I said, now that's silly because I just feel like you're my brother. Now, I didn't know he was gay or homosexual. I didn't know that. I just felt he was like my brother. I loved him in that way. So I said that to him, and he got very mad at me and because he wanted to kiss me goodnight. I don't know. Maybe he just wanted to try it out.
Well, you work with actors today, even today, that are some of them are closeted. I'm not going to say who their names are, but do they ask you for advice?
I know them anyway.
You know them. I mean, what advice do you say to them when they go, you know, Debbie, I think I might be gay, but I'm really struggling with my career as an actor, and what should I do?
Well, I think that it just depends on your personal life, you know, and also how solid you are in your career. I still think there's stigma if you are a leading man. If you're, you know, the character actor or the second banana, I don't really feel that you have a danger to you. If you are the leading man that is totally the sex pot of all time, for women I'm talking about, I think that there could be a stigma, and you have to be careful with that because of the prejudice that still exists today, because it does.
So you think it's this prejudice that keeps a lot of male actors in the closet?
Well, of course. I think it's they're a little concerned that they're going to work really hard as an actor, and yet that one thing would hold them back, and that's too bad. I thought we were past that. I thought we were through that, and God knows we should be.
Well, I certainly applaud your die-hard support of gay rights and your daughter's and your family's support of gay liberation.
Well, I always have. Always have. We just never, everybody was judged as exactly what we felt of them, how we loved them, and there was never a question, hey, by the way, do you dig guys or girls? I mean, that was never a question.
Do you ever turn to some of your peers in Hollywood and say, hey, come on, step up to the plate? It didn't hurt me. In fact, it benefits me to support my gay fans.
Well, I think that everybody does. I don't think that there's a big conversation about it. I think everybody does. I really...
Well, Charlton Heston certainly isn't supporting these gay fans.
Well, he's dead.
Back in the day. You know, he's gone now. I don't know that Chuck was against... of being gay at all. I think he just wanted you to play your role really right, and maybe he himself didn't want necessarily to play opposite that if a fellow was not tougher than he was. I don't know. I really don't know that. I knew him very well, and I didn't know that he was prejudiced in any way. I honestly didn't know that. The fact that he wants to shoot a gun doesn't mean that he's against a homosexual.
That's a point there. Let's
I mean,
go
the fact
look
that
at.
He's tough. There's a lot of gay guys that are really tough.
Well, certainly he was in that wonderful film,
gun,
right?
You know what?
Well, he certainly was in that wonderful film Ben-Hur, or was it Spartacus?
Was it Spartacus?
With a double entendres all throughout the film.
Well, that was kind of interesting, wasn't it? Fun to watch. I mean, you had Sir Laurence Olivier, who's bi, and Tony, who's straight.
Mm-hmm.
Is that where we are? Is that what
I
we're talking
so,
about?
Maybe.
Yeah, I think so.
I
think that's the one.
Well, they were all like
Sir
Embracey.
They both look great in their tunics.
Some like
oysters,
some like
muscles. Let's look back on Hollywood's golden age and the film that really sort of, by many standards, made your career, which is Singing in the Rain. It says that Good Morning sequence was shot over 40 times and that your feet were bleeding in your shoes.
Right.
What was it like to rehearse those dance sequences for you?
Never ending. Gino, he would just shoot everything a million times until he was satisfied. And as a rule, it was the first take. He was a very exacting man. That's what made him great. And he was very strict, and he was an unbelievable talent, as was Fred Astaire. He did just as many takes.
Mm-hmm.
So they were both exacting directors and choreographers. You know, they worked with other choreographers that assisted them, but they were the creative ones.
But you were thrust into this film with these giants, and at that time you were sort of a relative unknown in the industry.
Totally unknown, yeah. Is a better word.
Well, you were a kid, you know.
I was a total unknown, untrained kid, and they were all wonderful to me. They took me in like a kid, and they treated me like that. They treated me like a little sister, and that includes Tab and all the gay boys. All treated me. Nobody was fresh. Nobody scared me to death. I mean, I used to say lines that were just so corny and unbelievable. I say, no, I can't go out with you. Now, this is to a straight guy, you know, like his name was Mr. Lowe, who was his father owned all the Lowe's theaters, which is all of the movie houses.
Mm-hmm.
And so he wanted to take me out, and I said, you know, I can't go out with you because I hear you're a wolf.
Oh!
Now, isn't that from, you know, the three bears? I mean, so I was so innocent and really corny, and for years, and Elizabeth Taylor used to laugh at me. You know, she'd say, oh, get with it, girl.
Well, you're friends with Elizabeth Taylor today.
Yeah, today, well, I finally learned something, and I stopped reading The Three Bears, and I realized that life is not a fairy tale, and life is more, I was very uneducated, and I was very unsophisticated, and now I would say I'm very educated, and I'm very unsophisticated, and I like myself better today, but it took many, many years to get here. So all we have to do in order to become better people is to read more and to keep our hearts and minds open, and that we're all created equal, and we should quite understand that and love one another.
Today's podcast is brought to you by Audible.com, the leading provider in spoken word entertainment. Audible has over 35,000 titles to choose from to be downloaded and played back anywhere, just like Feast of Fun.
Log on to audiblepodcast.com/feastoffun to get a free audiobook download of your choice when you sign up today. Again, that's audiblepodcast.com/feastoffun for your free audiobook.
Now, Debbie Reynolds doesn't have any audiobooks, but her daughter Carrie Fisher sure does.
Ooh, really?
She's got four of them. Surrender the Pink, which I think is about chasing tail, must be right.
Yeah.
Wishful Drinking, The Best Awful, and of course her famous piece, Postcards from the Edge. And so these were written by Carrie Fisher and recorded by her too.
In her own voice.
In her own voice.
Debbie, it must have been hard at the time, though, when your husband, Eddie Fisher, went to console your friend, Elizabeth Taylor, and fell in love with her.
Well, we have to make some big mistakes.
You guys got divorced, right? you were the Ben Affleck, the
Jennifer Aniston.
Jennifer Aniston and...
I compare it to Brad and Jennifer and, you know, Elizabeth and Eddie and I. I compare our generation to their, that particular... happening, you know.
It must have been hard, though, to have your personal life for the first time in Hollywood history being put up as news.
I just say you have always got the innocent one and then the more calculative one, and then you've got the husband that's trying to keep everything seemingly innocent, and of course he's completely guilty.
How were you able to forgive Elizabeth Taylor and become friends with her? How were you able to patch things up?
I had to grow up. I had to realize that Eddie and I were very young when we met, and we fell in love, and we had two lovely children. And then a tragedy happened in Elizabeth's life, in all of our lives. Mike Todd died in a plane crash. So I am one of Elizabeth's best friends, so I send over my husband, who's Mike Todd's best friend, of course, to console Elizabeth. Why would I not? I wouldn't think a thing about it. I would think that would be the right thing to do. Mm-hmm. And I did. I didn't realize that from that comforting would come an all-consuming love, which Eddie then fell out of love with Debbie and in love with Elizabeth. And I can fully see why not, because she's a very exciting, worldly woman versus... compared to Debbie. So I understood, but it took many, many years for this to happen.
Well, I watched you on the Bonnie Hunt show recently, and you were talking about divorce, and you said to her, when a man wants to leave, he leaves. And then you coyly said to Bonnie, you'll find out. Are all relationships doomed with that as far as men goes?
In my mind, but that you can't go by my mind. My mind is, there is a prejudice in my mind. Injured baggage, shall we say. So I don't date. I don't go out with single men, or I go out with my friends.
Well, is it hard for you to sort of be supportive of marriage equality when you sort of have a very,
if you're young and it's sort of your first opportunity, or if you've lived a little of life and now you're smart enough to recognize a good companion. And you don't get married within 2 weeks, and you give it a little time, and you give the relationship time to nurture, and you get time to know one another and know what problems will ensue. You know, you might wind up to be Goldie Hawn and Kurt Russell and say, we don't need to get married. We don't want to get married, and we know this is not in our cup of tea. So then do that.
Debbie, then what do you think about gay people's desire for marriage equality? Are we chasing after the wrong thing?
No, I think marriage is a very warm, comforting friendship, building a lifetime together. I mean, I think that's what most people want, is companionship and warmth and sharing. Isn't that what we all want, gay or straight? So whether you're going to find that or not, I don't feel that I am, and so I'm not going to waste my time looking. And it just doesn't work out for me. And I realize that because I have dated in the past like two and three different gentlemen, all wound up to be a disaster. So three marriages and three friendships, and that'll do it.
What advice did you give your daughter when she got married?
First of all, she didn't marry Paul Simon right away. She went with him for quite a few years. And so I thought it would work, because he being a musician and she's being so talented, and I just thought it would be ideal. But it was too volatile, and it didn't work. And then and she was very brokenhearted, and to this day is still, I think, brokenhearted over it. And she's never married since.
Do you live next door to your daughter? Your Wikipedia entry says you live next door.
I live 5 feet. And the only way they cannot say hello to me, I mean, I lie down in the driveway. They have to run over me not to see me.
And you love to introduce yourself as the mother of Princess Leia from Star Wars.
Princess Leia's mother, yes.
Did you ever watch Natalie Portman actually portray Princess Leia's mother?
No.
I'd love to see you in that get-up, that costume.
Yeah, because it was really campy and full. Like, I don't know if you ever got to see stills of it, but it was very Asian drag queen inspired.
Oh, really? Maybe I should get one of the costumes.
I would love to see you wearing that in your one woman show.
You're like, I'm Princess Leia's mother. You sure are.
Well, you've worked. I can always have it copied.
Well, you've worked with drag queens and Connie and Carla. And do you have any advice for any drag queens trying to make it in the world?
Well, I know that it's always difficult to come out, and I know that it's sometimes families don't understand why in the world are you gay. Well, it's not like you asked for it. I mean, it's there when you're born, and that's what a lot of people don't understand. My brother, for instance, doesn't believe that at all. A lot of my family, and I argue, I have great arguments with them, this is not a request. So this is a feeling that is born within you, and it has to come out. And when it does come out, where do you fit? And the hardest part for being a born homosexual is, where do I fit and where will I be accepted? And it's only so important, it's very important for the heterosexuals to understand that this is not a request. This is not something that the boys ask for. This is not a letter sent in ahead of time by the mother. I would like to ask that this child of mine be born gay. I mean, that is not possible, and that is not done. So we must be very sympathetic, and we must be understanding, or we should be. And a lot of people don't want to hear that. They don't think that that's in the Bible. It's not written. So there's an awful lot of scripture that people have to get through and have to work through, and a lot of people can't work through it, and they can't accept that that person is going to live with the same sex. That is very hard, and you must understand both sides. I understand both sides because I live in a straight world, and I understand the gay world. So I have a kind of an ideal viewpoint. And my thinking is very high, and my thinking, I feel, I am very religious, and I believe in God's word, and I believe in his ways, but I believe as all is forgiven, Mary Magdalene, he walked amongst, the lepers and Mary Magdalene, and he accepted people as they are.
So we have a question here from Facebook. Are you on Facebook, Debbie, by the way?
No.
Will you add me on Twitter?
No.
I would love
to see. I'm not going to be on anything.
Get your daughter or somebody, your assistant to.
No,
to...
I don't want to be. It takes too much time.
Oh, it would be so much fun, though. But listen, John Galbraith wants to know, I thought you were great on Will and Grace. Was there any kind of stretch for you to play a character like that with your background in the arts?
Well, I don't think she's a character. I think she's me.
Oh.
So it was no stretch at all?
No, not on Will and Grace.
So basically, Carrie has the same kind of mom that you did for Grace on that show.
Well, not every day, but I would say that's me, not as Carrie's mother necessarily, because I'm not outgoing when we sit around or I visit with Carrie. I'm usually advising her, which is a terrible thing mothers do. So, and she doesn't take it. I'm just saying she hears me, because I had a phone call with her the other day, a phone conversation. I said, Carrie, when we talk, it's not that I want to advise you, but when I really feel you need it, I have to be, as your mother, the one to give you that advice. As your mother. Otherwise, I don't feel I'm really your mother, and a mother should be an advisor. You have a lot of friends, but you have one mother.
Aww. And it's interesting that every gay man wants to be your son, but actually,
I take all gay boys. They can all be my sons because I love. I truly, they're sweet. They're well intended. They're loving. They're looking for love, and they're looking for love, and sometimes can't ever find it. So all the mothers get ready. They can adopt a boy.
Aww.
What is the biggest misconception you think people have about you?
About me? I don't think any. I think my whole life is an open book. I think I am what I am. I was born Mary Frances Reynolds, so I'm a bit of a Mary Frances. I'm a bit of a Debbie Diva, so I'm. That's the part that the gay boys like about me, is that I'm a bit much. But that's what I was always. I was always a bit out there. I was born April 1st, so I'm a bit, I like fun. I'm a quiet person in my real life, in my own home. I read. I'm, you know, solitary in a way. I don't give parties.
Mm-hmm.
I don't go to many parties. When I was young, I did. But, you know, after 60s, I decided I like a quiet life, quieter life, and I decided to do that. And I just visit with the most one or two friends, backstage three or four friends. You know, but I'm on the road 32 weeks a year, so, you know, my life is show business and on the stage.
Well, we're looking forward to seeing your show at the Drury Lane Theater this weekend. It's certainly an honor and a pleasure to talk to you.
Now, let me just mention, so
okay.
These are matinees, August 6th and 7th and 8th and 9th. Those are all at 2:30 in the afternoon.
Oh, my God. So we could totally go out disco dancing afterwards.
My darling, we can still date. And on Saturday, there's a show in the afternoon, and then at 5 o'clock, we can hit it. We can go out again. So you see, there's matinee shows, which they've always done there. Drury Lane is
sure.
Great. And the food is drop dead, and I'm looking forward to it because it's really a fun place. Everybody thinks it's just for old people. It's not true. It's for everybody. We give great shows, and we have a great time. So I hope that you boys and anyone listening comes over.
And you have some shows coming up also in September, too? I think there's...
Not at the Drury Lane.
Okay, but like I think this is everywhere. This is all over the internet, so I think it's
Vegas. Oh, gosh. Oh, well, I'll be... oh, my goodness. North Shore, I'll be in Las Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
I'll be down in Laughlin, Nevada, Thanksgiving. Oh, goodness, you asked me. You threw me off.
That's okay. We'll put up all the links up on the website so anybody
that's
listening to this
can...
Yeah,
I have a lot of different places. I'm going to somewhere in Canada. I'm going up there. So different spots, you know. I'm
Debbie,
everywhere.
Debbie, we'll put up all the information on the website. Can I ask you for a favor? Can you say, this is Debbie Reynolds, star of Stage and Screen, and when I'm not busy doing my one-woman show, I like to listen to the Feast of Fun podcast.
Feast of Fun. What,
yes.
Let me write that down. Feast of Fun. When I'm not out doing
No, but
my
introduce
show.
Yourself so people know who
okay,
it is.
Okay, ready, yeah. get set, go. Hi, this is Debbie Reynolds, and when I'm not out on the road doing my show full of singing and dancing, I'm always listening to the Feast of Fun with Fausto or Mark.
Yay! Bye. Thank you, Debbie. We love you so much.
Okay,
thank you,
darling.
Debbie.
You have a
thank
wonderful
you.
Week, and we look forward to seeing you in Chicago.
Love to both of you. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Debbie Reynolds lives somewhere in an undisclosed location in Los Angeles, California, 5 feet away from her daughter, Carrie Fisher's house. On the driveway sometimes.
So now we can change her Wikipedia site that she actually does live next door.
You learn all sorts of fascinating things on Feast of Fun, I tell you, Mark.
That's true.
And I want to just once again thank Debbie Reynolds for taking the time to speak to us.
I know.
It was quite an honor to speak to Hollywood's leading lady. So once again, she's going to be at the Drury Lane in Oak Brook this weekend, August 6th and 7th at 2:30 p.m.
Wow, that's the one we're going to on Friday, right?
Yeah, we're
going to
go on Friday at 2:30 p.m. if there's still tickets available. And then there's also, you can go on Sunday at 1:30 p.m. And then she's going to stay up late and do a show at 5
p.m. That's on Sunday or Saturday?
Well, August the 8th, I assume that's
okay.
Sunday, right?
Okay, right.
And then on Monday, she's also going to be doing a 1:30 p.m. show.
Wow.
So if you're over there, you know, you get to hang out with Debbie Reynolds and celebrate her career.
Because she's sassy on stage. I understand she's no holds bar.
Yeah, she'll make you blush. And you already have a sort of red coloring to your cheeks.
And I want to remind people, too, that we can't do the show without your support. So please visit Feast of Fun and make a donation, buy a t-shirt.
You know what I'm going to do today, Mark?
What's
because
that?
I love our listeners so much. We are going to knock $10 off the prize.
Woo!
We're crazy. Okay, so if you call the Drury Lane box office, 630-530-0111, and say, Fausto sent you. Actually, they'll say, who? You got to mention Heron PR for the $10 discount.
Heron?
Heron.
Like heroin?
I guess. H-E-R-O-N-P-R. What's a heron?
A heron's a bird. A large
okay.
bird.
I thought
it's
it was like
a crane.
Because I thought I didn't have my glasses on, so I thought I saw heroin PR. I was like, no. That's a very edgy name for a public relations agency.
Because it goes right into your veins.
Yes.
And makes you high. I want to remind people, too, that you can comment on the show using Twitter. Just include hashtag FOF1033 in your update, and we'll see it on the site. Or visit the website, feastfun.com, and comment there. Tell Debbie how much you love her.
And we'll print out all the comments and give them to her in person, because, you know...
Yeah, she doesn't go on the internet.
She admitted
on
the
Facebook,
show.
No Facebook, no Twitter.
No Twitter.
Because she loves it. So you tell her how much you love her, and we'll leave it for her at Drury Lane. Remember, Feast of Fun is available as a podcast. Search Feast of Fun on iTunes and subscribe through your computer or through your mobile device and never miss a show.
We want to thank you guys so much for listening to this show. I'm Fausto Fernos.
I'm Mark Fillion.
Bye.
Bye-bye.